Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Good morning to Tom Fitton, president of Judicial Watch. Real honor to have you here, sir.
Hey, thank you for having me. Glad to be with you.
Yeah, and you know what? You don't know me, but I have a policy we do in our house. Every time you guys do something awesome, we send you a check. My husband and I do.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and you got to knock it off because we're sending like two and three a month now. And we're going to go broke. So, but no, the work you guys do at Judicial Watch is unbelievable. I want to start. I've got so much stuff saved up I've wanted to ask you about. One of the most stunning stories to break, to me, in the last year, was that the 30,000 emails under subpoena by Congress, still missing. If you watch the mainstream media, you believe that. You found them in Obama's office at the White House? Tell us about that. Where are they now? I mean,
a federal judge, first of all, most of them are still missing. And a federal judge granted us discovery, which is the ability to gather evidence about the Clinton email scandal recently. And a top FBI official who was in charge of her investigation, at least nominally, told us that among the places they found her emails was the executive office of the president, specifically the Obama White House. Now, generally speaking, we've already received a bunch of emails that the FBI was able to recover from her that she had tried to delete or otherwise hide, that 33,000. So as we could tell, though, they've only been able to recover 5,000 emails. So there's still 28,000 missing.
But some of these were, you said, in the executive office of the White House.
Well, I'm not sure if they were exactly emails that she had tried to delete or otherwise hide. That's one of the things we'll try to figure out. Where did they recover some of these emails from? And that's one of the things that we're exploring and the court wants answers to. Because, you know, under the Freedom of Information Act, Tara, we have a right to these emails. And if they're being hidden or otherwise easily gotten by the government, they got to go find them, in our view.
Speaking of Tom Fitton, the president of Judicial Watch, you just had a big victory in L.A. They are supposed to keep their voter rolls clean. They were not doing that. And so you've gotten them, court order. They're going to have to, over time, remove 1.5 million people, I believe, from their voter rolls. Tell us about how big is the illegal voting and fraudulent voting problem in America in your view?
Well, you know, when you've got to have 1.5 million names, as you say, on your voting rolls, it's a pretty good indication you've got a problem. Dirty voting rolls can mean dirty elections. There's just a massive pool of names, especially in California, that LA County specifically, that can be tapped. Hey, you know, you want to vote illegally, vote in the name of this dead person, because there's this list there available telling you that you can use that name because there's no voter ID in California, practically speaking. So it's easy to do, or too easy to do. So this is massive opportunity for fraud. But then on top of that, you got tens of millions of aliens here, both legal and otherwise, who obviously are registering to vote and voting in large enough numbers to sway elections. And when you get issues, Texas and Pennsylvania, you've had numbers come out showing aliens were voting. I think we're just getting to the tip of the iceberg of the true numbers of fraudulent votes. And the left says there are no fraudulent votes. Obviously, that's not true. It's somewhere between zero and, let's say, President Trump is saying, what number he's saying, 3, 4, 5 million.
Yeah.
There's some number there of aliens or illegal votes generally that need to be rooted out. And that's not something that much of the major media wants to do. And certainly it's not something a lot of the big rebel states want to do, especially where you've got these large numbers, as I say, of opportunities for fraud as a result of dirty voting rolls or no voter ID. Only 10 states, Tara, best I checked, only 10 states have strong voter ID laws.
Tom Fitton, speaking, you brought up Texas. We know for a fact that 56,000 illegal immigrants or foreign nationals illegally voted in Texas elections. 56,000 at least one time. Now, I know they're investigating this in Texas. Where is the DOJ? Where's Department of Justice? We're told Bill Barr's going to fix everything. Where are they? I mean, that was the same week Jussie Smollett broke, and they sent a whole FBI team to deal with that. Yet there was never an investigation announced at the federal level of that kind of voter fraud and violations. I mean, what is it going to take to clean this up?
Well, that's a good question about what DOJ is doing on this. I've always thought the Justice Department should do. And to me, it's a data. It's number crunching. Looking at lists, comparing lists to find indications of voter fraud. They haven't done that, and I don't understand why it hasn't been done yet. You're right.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. Speaking of Bill Barr, you guys just, you know, you break bombshell after bombshell. It's like every week with Judicial Watch now, Tom Fitton. And we have a lot of people on the text line saying, you know, when are we going to see indictments? When are we going to get to the bottom of this? Is Bill Barr going to do something? What is the feeling you got? I mean, they say he's going to, but he's got to do it before the election. Is he gonna?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. You know, I'm hopeful that there's some justice done. But, you know, we waited for the Justice Department to do their job. Judicial Watch was shut down a long time ago. So we just operate as if nothing's going to get done and we're going to get the information out. Maybe some of the information leads to pressure to get something so something's done. I mean, I think he understands there was misconduct committed. The question is, are they going to prosecute anyone for it? And, you know, you probably run financial product ads on your network or on your station. And you remember at the end of all the ads, they say the past experience is no indication of future experience, right?
Yeah.
But in politics, actually, it's a pretty good rule of thumb. So what's happened in the past, the Justice Department, generally speaking, is a pretty good indication of what's going to happen in the future. But we'll see. Maybe something marginally will happen and we'll get some indictments and get some more accountability. But in the meantime, thanks to supporters like you, we're going to keep on doing our work.
One more question for you, Tom Fitton. One of the most chilling things, in my opinion, that you guys ever uncovered was, you know, we all know about the Lois Lerner thing and how they, I mean, it's a fact, they terrorized conservative folks. But you guys discovered that the FBI, well, this is during Mueller's term at the FBI, that they had taken essentially that list, if I understand correctly, that Lois Lerner had used to terrorize people, and they had illegally walked it out of the IRS over to the DOJ. It appears, we don't know, but I'm reading between the lines here.
It was every file the IRS had on virtually every nonprofit or political advocacy group. So 1.3 million pages of records the DOJ and the FBI took, and it was only after it was uncovered by Judicial Watch of Congress that they give it back and admit they had no reason to have it in the first place. Because the thinking was on the Obama DOJ and FBI, they were colluding with Lois Lerner, trying to figure out ways to prosecute the very groups that she was suppressing. And it's an incredible story, as you say, Sarah, and the media won't tell you about it. And whose FBI was doing this? Robert Mueller. So when people talk about his ethics, I have little patience.
Well, yeah. I mean, see, Tom Fitton, and I'm going to go connect some dots here. I mean, that to me looks like the Lois Lerner plan to terrorize essentially conservative groups that worked against Obama was a bigger plan than that in our government, that it involved potentially the FBI and the DOJ if they were all stealing the file. Am I mischaracterizing that? Is that the impression you get, that it was much bigger?
So Lois Lerner seemed to be the more sensible of the group. When you look at the documents about the discussions between the Justice Department and IRS on targeting these groups, Lois Lerner's like, well, you know, that's a new interpretation of the law. What are you thinking? You know, she dealt with them and she gave them the information. As I said, all those files. But it was the Justice Department and the FBI who had this outrageous new interpretation of the law that would have allowed them to prosecute innocent people. Really incredible. I'm glad that, you know, it was only because the scandal was exposed was it stopped.
I mean, Tom Fitton, what you're describing is the beginning of political persecution in this country, the kind that we would expect to see under an authoritarian regime. I mean, you literally stopped it by catching them. Are we headed here if we lose this election? Is that what we can expect, to be persecuted by our government?
Well, it already happened. I mean, the suppression occurred with the IRS, the entire Tea Party movement. Obama saw that. The administration saw that. Democrats saw the misuse of that agency. I thought, well, let's do more of that. And I'm sure there's no surprise to you all, that they would go from doing that in 2012 to the Spygate scandal in 2016, which saw the misuse of intelligence agencies and other various agencies to target Trump and protect Hillary.
Tom Fitton, we just had Devin Nunes this week, and others have said it too, say, hey, listen, this whole Spygate thing, it didn't start in 2016. It started in 2015. Well, that would indicate that, I mean, it started in 2015. They'd have been spying on everybody, right? They didn't know Trump would win the nomination. I mean, is this thing going to get much bigger?
Well, you know, maybe people associated with the Trump campaign were on the radar of the Obama administration. We know General Flynn was seen as a whistleblower and an opponent of the intelligence regime. And so he was certainly on their target list for a long time prior to even Trump coming on the scene.
Got one more question for you, and I've saved so many of these up. I have watched closely what has gone on in Libya and Syria for a long time, and you guys did some incredible work uncovering the fact that, you know, shipped out of Benghazi were these howitzers, military materials that were then, we allowed, because we were controlling the ports, shipped to Syria. All the while, the government is being warned, hey, this, you know, these rebels, they're really ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And yet we know somebody is allowing in our government the shipping of these weapons to our sworn enemies, which sure sounds like treason to me. You've kind of nibbled around this Judicial Watch getting all these documents. Mr. Fitton, do we arm and train directly or indirectly ISIS? Do we do that? Because that's what the information that you are getting in terms of these Freedom of Information Act requests sure seems to point to. What's your opinion on that?
Well, certainly the documents from the Defense Intelligence Agency show that the West was arming the jihadists and supporting jihadists in that area of the world. The document warned of the rise of a caliphate type of organization like ISIS in that section of the world between Syria and the Iraqi border. It was a no man's land. And of course, in Benghazi, they were tracking shipments, in the least tracking shipments going out, you know, down to the number and type of weapons in a level of detail that suggests either they were doing it or knew enough about it to stop it.
That's it's not a good sign. And of course, it was Michael Flynn blowing the whistle the whole time. I mean, he was still doing interviews after he left, you know, all but saying, hey, listen, you know, Al-Qaeda's become our ally and we're arming and training them. I mean, do you think that's why? I've always wondered if Flynn was targeted first by the FBI because he had spoken out about that. What's your opinion on that?
I agree with you 100%. He was highlighting, you know, this document that we released under the Freedom of Information Act, it was a Benghazi-related document, too, and ties to two scandals that you highlight, both the Benghazi scandal and cover-up and what was going on there with the rise of ISIS in the Syrian civil war. He talked about that issue generally. He was seen as someone who had uncomfortable questions for the intelligence community, demanding answers. And so it was no surprise to me that they were thinking of ways to try to get him.
Yeah, the guy that's trying to tell everybody who will listen, oh, hey, by the way, we're arming and trading our Al-Qaeda, essentially, is what he was saying. Tom Fitton, it has been a true honor to have you on the show this morning. I hope you stop by.
Well, thank you.
Again in the future. And nobody, in my opinion, is doing more for your buck if you want to donate to a political cause right now than Judicial Watch. So I want to thank you for what you do and just wish you the best of luck.
Hey, thanks, Sarah. I hope to see you again or be on with you again. Thank you.
Absolutely. Tom Fitton, president of Judicial Watch.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
All right, so you probably heard this, AOC, comparing illegal immigrant detention centers, you know, like the kind they had under Obama, but they didn't care at the time, to concentration camps at the border. You've heard this by now.
The United States is running concentration camps on our southern border, and that is exactly what they are. The fact that concentration camps are now an institutionalized practice in the home of the free is extraordinarily disturbing.
You say nonsense with such authority.
Oops, didn't mean to hit that button. Okay. Well, you know, she's been run through the ringer, including by Mayor de Blasio, who himself is insane, but found this a step too far into insanity even for himself and condemned what she said. Of course, come on, it's not like concentration camps. Well, apparently everybody misunderstood. They're not smart enough to figure out what Miss Ocasio-Cortez was saying. And so thankfully, we have Ilhan Omar to explain it to us. Are you ready for this? This is not the Young Info. This is real. It's not a joke. I know we play satire here sometimes. This is not satire. This is Ilhan Omar. She's asked, you know, your bud, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, crazy ex-girlfriend. She said about concentration camps. Do you agree with that?
Could you tell me, do you agree with AOC that ICE is running concentration camps on the border?
There are camps and people are being concentrated. This is very simple. I don't even know why this is a controversial.
The people are concentrated. There's a lot of concentration in these kids. They're concentrated. You like concentrated orange juice. That's like a concentration camp too. It's totally concentrated. It's like my daughter's fifth grade class. They had so many kids at the end of the year. They were like 30 in her class and they could barely fit the desk. Like that is like a concentration camp. Like, you get it? Duh. She meant they were concentrated.
AOC that ICE is running concentration camps on the border.
There are camps and people are being concentrated. This is very simple. I don't even know why this is a controversial thing for her to say. We have to.
Okay, so, like, you ever ridden the subway in D.C., the metro? Boy, are people concentrated. I mean, man, if somebody doesn't use deodorant on that thing, you know exactly who it is, right? More than likely, you've got your face in their armpit because they're holding an arm strap. Like, that's a concentration camp, right? Am I understanding this correctly? There are concentration camps everywhere. She actually said that. Can you? God, do I have to do this? Can you imagine if a Republican? Never mind. Yeah, and that Republican was being challenged by nonprofits whose only task is to remember the horrors of the Holocaust to, like, you know, hey, come and take a, okay, why don't you come and take a tour of Auschwitz? We'll help you understand. And AOC's like, don't have time. Can you imagine if a Republican did that? Can you imagine if a Republican is like, well, duh, they were concentrated. There wasn't a lot of human space. Duh. That Republican would be destroyed. Did you hear anything about this?
Nah, it was on Fox News briefly. But anywhere else, nah, it's not.
Texter writes, OMG, what an idiot. Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. Well, it was one of the most stunning things I've heard a politician say recently. Nancy Pelosi just came out in favor of no interior immigration enforcement. Just none. This is the Speaker of the House of the United States of America, folks. This is jaw-dropping. There's no other way to describe it.
In terms of interior enforcement, what is the what's the point? I won't even go into what the motivation might be for that.
Talking about what the motivation might be for Trump for wanting to do any interior enforcement. She was a racist. Okay, what was Nancy Pelosi talking about? This was not taken out of context. She's serious. I don't understand the point of doing any interior enforcement. Okay. Trump, the raids they were going to do, they were going after people who had who were here illegally. They've had their asylum hearings. They were ordered deported. They were given deportation orders by a court of law, and they stayed anyway. That's a crime. It's a crime. You can't do that. This is what Nancy Pelosi says about deporting them.
This is not America. We do not break up families because of a status violation.
The status violation she's talking about is they were ordered deported by a court of law. Here's Tom Cotton on that. Senator Tom Cotton. I mean, just shaking his head. I mean, his jaw dropping.
Let's just think about the Democrats' position here. These are people who have claimed asylum in our country. They've had their day in court. They've had their claims rejected. And now they face a valid and final order of removal. If we can't deport people like that, who can we deport? That's why the Democrats' position ultimately comes back to, in essence, open borders.
So do you?
Yeah, that's open borders. I mean, if we're going to live in a country where our courts order them deported, and we just don't. Because, I'm sorry, explain it to us again, Nancy.
In terms of interior enforcement, what is the what's the point? I won't even go into what the motivation might be for that.
So she's basically saying, no, I mean, even if they have the deportation orders, we're not going to remove them. Well, then who will we remove, Madam Speaker? Which is exactly what Representative Brian Babin of Texas asked yesterday. I mean, you should see his face when Heather Childers played this for him on Fox News. I mean, just what? Played the clip of Nancy Pelosi. Listen to this.
Obviously, she's saying that she wants open borders.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can figure. It's hard to even imagine the Speaker of the House of Representatives would say, what's the point of interior enforcement? Because if we don't have interior enforcement, the chances of the Congress getting together, closing loopholes, and disincentivizing the folks from coming across, if we can't deport people who have already had their cases adjudicated and already have orders mm-hmm. to be removed, who in the world can you deport?
Nobody. I mean, that's what she said. No interior enforcement. I mean, folks, again, I'm sorry. A quarter of the people, according to the Department of Justice, we had this study, came right out of the Department of Justice, straight from Department of Justice documents. 25% of the people in federal prison are illegal immigrants. They're foreign nationals and illegal immigrants. So we wonder, why would we deport anybody? Why would we do any enforcement? Because in fact, a quarter of the prison population, 15% of our murders at the federal level. I should put it this way, 15% of those in prison for murder in a federal prison are illegal immigrants. And she says, why would we want to deport them? She really doesn't know. They're just great people. I mean, sometimes they kill, rape, and murder. But other than that, they're really good. You'll love them, especially when they vote Democrat. Oh, by the way, Representative Brian Babin wasn't done. He's talking about Nancy Pelosi saying, you know, in terms of interior enforcement, what's the point? Why should we even do it? It's only because Trump's a racist that he wants to have interior enforcement at all, she said. Here's Republican Representative Brian Babin's response to that.
This border crisis, I think it's going to, we're in danger of losing control of our borders. Mm-hmm. We already have. It's in danger of collapsing not only the security system at our border, but for our entire country. I'm from Texas, and I'm the border security co-chairman caucus, and I can tell you that if we don't get a handle on the numbers coming across, mm-hmm. our nation is in grave danger. And there is no excuse for us not to have passed this when we had all the cards in our table, in our hand, the previous 2 years. It's not for mm-hmm. lack of trying on my part
yeah.
and on many of
yeah.
my colleagues' part. Just
right.
lack of will in the U.S. Congress.
Right.
We have got to do something.
Let me translate that. He's right. They had the votes. But he says, a lack of will. Let me help translate. Paul Ryan, the Republican Speaker of the House, blocked the bill that they had the votes to pass. That would have closed these loopholes. That's what he means. It's maddening. It's just maddening. He finishes with this on who is coming.
We found some of the numbers of some of these caravans that are heading north into the United States out through Mexico. Up to 25% of some of these people already have criminal histories in the United States.
Damn.
Which means that they've been deported or they've returned voluntarily and now they're coming back or they're reentering illegally. It's just incredible that we have elected officials that say, what's the point of interior enforcement, and deny that there's a problem at the border, which is overwhelming and endangering the American mm-hmm. citizens, are overwhelming our schools, our hospitals, our law enforcement, and the humanitarian crisis about communicable diseases. It is amazing that we've got over 4,000 30,000 people down there quarantined right now. I'm a healthcare practitioner. I'm a dentist, and I can tell you that that is a big problem.
Here's the thing, though.
Yeah, it's a big problem. Why would we? I mean, do you realize? Okay, Mazie Geronimo, the senator, Geronimo. I'm sorry, that's what I call her. She came up with. She says she wants illegal immigration to be just like a ticket, like you know, you speed, you get a ticket, they let you drive off, right? And so once you get into the country. And they don't really stop anyone, check to see who they are, because it doesn't really matter. ISIS terrorist, Guatemalan, he wants a job. Hey, it's all the same. Human trafficker, pedophile, whatever. It's all the same thing. So I was just saying, 25% of them are criminals. No big deal. And so once they get into the interior, we shouldn't do any enforcement. Well, that's open borders with no check to see who's coming. They don't care. ISIS terrorist, no biggie. Members of the Iranian National Guard to extract revenge. That's okay. Welcome to America. Please vote Democrat after you kill a few people. Everybody else in Texas does who's an illegal immigrant. It's where we are, folks. This exists because the GOP leadership won't fight back. I mean, you want to win the election in 2020? You want the House back? Nancy just gave it to you. Hold a dang press conference. Somebody other than Trump, please, for the love of God, condemn this woman. She just proposed open borders. Put her on a jumbotron behind you. Saying, what is the point of interior enforcement? You will win the election. They won't. They won't do it. Which is why she can say it. They won't do it. They won't fight. That's why. It's not the Democrats. They're insane. It's the Republican leadership that won't stop them. To the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. A lot of you still losing it over Ilhan Omar explaining that what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, remember Ilhan Omar, she's the one who married her brother, committed immigration fraud, then got elected to Congress and nobody cares? Yeah. Her. Well, I mean, she meant was that the camps are concentrated.
Do you agree with AOC that ICE is running to concentration camps on the border?
There are camps and people are being concentrated. This is very simple. I don't even know why this is a controversial thing for her to say.
See? They're concentrated. It's the problem. Texter writes, how many times a day do you think that the group that got these geniuses elected are smacking their foreheads? I don't think they're much brighter. Texter writes, there is grape juice and it is concentrated. I wonder if she's aware of that. I don't know. You'd have to ask. Texter writes, guess jails and prisons could be considered concentration camps too, according to their definition. Why not? Let's free everybody. People in jails, prison, why not? Texter writes, if you closely watch the video of Ilhan Omar, well, she says that's Representative Ilhan Omar. You'll see she's smirking. That wasn't a mistake in a second language. It was deliberate mockery. Of course it was. She's not that stupid. Texter writes about the concentration camp comment by AOC. Hey, Tara, remember how the Nazis could only keep the Jews for 20 days and then they let them go? No. Texter writes, Tara, AOC and Omar need to concentrate on getting a clue. Texter writes, hey, Tara, that's not America. What's not America is picking. Okay, what's not America? I think they mean American. What's not American is picking and choosing what laws you want to enforce and who not you choose to enforce them against. Well, that's exactly what Pelosi is advocating.
This is not America. We do not break up families because of a status violation.
They broke the law. They broke it by coming here, but once they're ordered deported, it is illegal to stay here. That is a second crime. If Pelosi doesn't like it, she should work to decriminalize it. Have you noticed they're not doing that in Congress? Because they'd lose. They'd lose. They'd lose if they ran on it. They can't get away with it. So they're just implementing dual justice instead. Text writes, do you notice Nancy started to say, what's the purpose? But there's too much of an easy answer for that. So she changed her word to point in the middle of her sentence because she realized what she was saying. Yes, this texter is referring to this by Nancy Pelosi. Stunning statement.
In terms of interior enforcement, what is the what's the point?
Texter writes, arguing with a friend of mine about the detainee camps now. She's saying kids are being denied basic hygiene and blankets. Do you know where that allegation is coming from? Liberal media. I haven't heard that one. Listen, tell your friend this. 11,000 unaccompanied minors showed up on a border in May. The Democrats have not provided one single funding bill since January, no matter how Trump has begged them. And then they turn around and say the kids don't have enough. So tell her, if it bothers her, we can end this right now. If the Democrats would close the loophole, people wouldn't shove these kids down at the border. A third of the girls who come down here are raped. Tell her that. Tell her, you want to know about cruel? That's cruel. The Democrats could close the loophole and no one would send these kids anymore. They didn't used to send them. But they refuse. And then they refuse to provide the funding so they can scream at Trump for brutalizing children. They are brutalizing children. It's maddening. And finally, Texter writes, the fact is that Democrats absolutely do not care about the American people in any way, shape, or form. I think that's pretty clear. And finally, Texter writes, duh, Nancy, the motivation is safety for American citizens. I know. But she didn't care about American citizens.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.